Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in here to KILJ. I have a wonderful conversation lined up for you because I have Representative Marionette Miller Meeks on the phone with me. Miller Meeks, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Happy it's a little bit warmer today than it has been.
Well, tell me, where are you? Are you in D.C.? Are you in Iowa?
No, we're in Iowa this week, and so I was traveling earlier in the western part of the district, so I was up in Marion and Warren counties, and then doing the other things that you have to do as part of this job, and so that's kind of today. Tomorrow I'll be in Davenport, and then Davenport, and then Iowa City.
Well, there's been a lot of great news coming out with your help, thinking of some of the local projects that you funded around your district. Let's start with that. I know we want to talk to you about President Trump's visit to Iowa. But first, I mean, I've been seeing you helping kind of all over the district. Give me an update on some of the funding that you've helped secure for some local projects.
Certainly, in Congress, starting in 2021, both parties had agreed through a majority that we would do community project funding, where there are guardrails and earmarks on funding that a congressional representative or a senator can request for their district. And so you can't have any financial gain or any financial input into these projects. You have to show that there is vast community support for them. Most of our projects have been on hard infrastructure, roads and bridges, things like that, but also in areas where there's tremendous need. So we go through a very rigorous process. We get over 100 applications. Each congressperson gets 15 projects per year. It doesn't increase the spending level, and I think it's important for people to understand that, because you'll hear about some people on both sides of the aisle will say this is just wasteful government spending. But actually what it is within the parameters of the budget caps that are established for each different committee area, a congressperson can submit projects in their district to be funded. And then it has to go through all of the subcommittee appropriation subcommittee process, full committee appropriations, to the House floor, then to the Senate, and then on to a passage. So it is a very rigorous process. And through that, we meet with people within the district. We help them with applications. We will send out the request for applications in March. We have a very short time window. And so to your point, through this rigorous process, we don't increase spending. We just direct where some of that spending goes. And so we have funded, we've helped to fund wastewater treatment, especially in small communities and small counties, because if most of your residents are senior citizens on a fixed income, it's hard. You know, you can only raise water rates in order to pay for these mandates by the federal government. So sewer separations, wastewater treatment facilities. We've had funding for hospital simulation in Anamosa, which will increase our healthcare workforce, which we know we have a shortage.
Oh, did I lose you? Are you still there?
I'm still here. Do you still have me?
You cut out a little bit. You were talking about hospitals, if you could just pick up there.
Yeah, so some funding for hospitals, funding for Van Buren County Hospital for equipment that they needed so that they could take care of patients and it would help their bottom line. So there are certain things that we can fund, whether it's in commerce, whether it's in transportation and infrastructure, housing. We have had funding for the Newton YMCA to go to childcare. And so we really work hard to get projects. And we have 20 counties, but we only get 15 projects a year. So we also try to be very diligent in seeking input from all of the counties. Our larger counties will get one project that we'll put forward every year. And then our smaller counties, we try to alternate, especially depending upon the significance of the project. So we work very hard to get the projects all the way through. And we work very hard with the community. So we have several in Southeast Iowa that are going. And then when we just passed last week our transportation, the T-HUD bill, we had funding for the Cascade Bridge in Burlington, our Career Development Center in Fort Madison, and also some funding for the hospital there. We have funding for flood and road in Scott County and Davenport. So very pleased with the funding we get, and we're hoping that very soon we'll get, now that we're going to start on the FY27 funding budget year, that we will get the permission to go ahead and seek applications. So we'll put out the notice and start seeking applications for federal fiscal year 27.
Great news. Thanks for kind of explaining the process on how these projects get funded. And I know you're traveling all over the district on a regular basis to you know, learn more about these issues and really kind of pinpoint the projects that you think you can help help the most with. So with that, I know the last time you and I were together, we were at a town hall in Van Buren County.
Yes, we were. And it, you know, and it's important. It was a little rowdy. And as long as people are respectful and they're, you know, they're safe and there's not violence, as we've said numerous times, political violence is not acceptable. We handle our differences at the ballot box. So, yes, we continue to have outreach all throughout the district. As I said, I'll be tomorrow in Davenport. So after the elections in November, we know, even though that they were off-year elections, we have some new city and county officials and new mayors. So we're starting to, you know, introduce ourselves. My staff has already introduced themselves, but introduce ourselves to the new mayors and, you know, new members, elected officials within our cities and counties. And then to your point, yes, we do meet with everybody on our for our community project funding. And I think what's important about that, when you said I go around and meet with people, what's important about that is, you know, one of the duties of Congress, and that is the powers of the purse and direct spending. And I think Congress people who are closer to their constituents, who live in, you know, are in the district, traveling the district, meeting with people, know better what a community needs than some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. in the transportation or commerce division or housing or, you know, the other or, you know, agriculture than the other areas. So I do think it's important. It's an important function of Congress to help direct where some of the spending is going, knowing that we're not increasing the overall spending levels.
Well, talk to me a little bit about where you're at right now in, you know, in the legislature. What's going on in the House? What bills are you working on? What things are you excited about to bring back for the people of Iowa?
So, well, I'm very excited that we've had a lot of conversations about our PBM reform, our pharmacy benefit manager reform, in order to get prescription drug prices down. We've already passed some as independent legislation, but also in the Working Families Tax Cut or Reconciliation Bill. There's still more that we're going to have to do. We also passed a Lowering Healthcare Premiums for All Americans Act. It has yet to be taken up in the Senate, but we're hoping that that is going to come to fruition because it's the only thing that really is going to lower healthcare premiums. And then, as you know, we had the health insurance companies in for testimony as witnesses in the Energy and Commerce Committee. And so that was really important to be able to, I would say, ask them questions or maybe grill them. But we got some important information in that some of them are headquartered overseas and they have money through their PBMs that are going into overseas accounts. So fascinating information that we gained and I think put them on notice that we need to look and have transparency in how that funding goes. We have passed several bills on energy so that we can continue to have increase our amount of energy production in the United States, homegrown domestic energy, which is going to be important in keeping electricity prices down. And I'm one of the members of the E15 Rural Domestic Energy Council because we're working extremely hard to get year-round E15 across the finish line and into law, which it makes no sense because all of the technology has changed from when E10 was put into place, so it makes no sense to penalize E15. So looking forward to getting through the council, bringing in everybody's you know, viewpoints, coming to consensus, and getting that passed. We're also working on Veterans Affairs issues. I'm on the Veterans Affairs Committee, so whether it is community care, healthcare workforce, within the VA, and then emerging breakthrough therapy for PTSD, suicide prevention, brain health issues. Those are things that we're working on. Remember, we're still trying to get the rest of the farm bill, the skinny farm bill passed, if you will. We are going to be working on another reconciliation bill that may have some health care and energy issues in it. And then we're starting the process now that we've gotten the FY26 budget passed. All 12 single department appropriations bill has been a very long time since that's happened, all through regular order. So now we have to work on FY27. So we'll be getting people meeting with us in D.C. and meeting with us in Iowa and sending us letters for us to support appropriations for certain things. So it's going to be very busy when we get back to D.C. on Monday.
Well, you talked about coming to consensus. you know, you talked about political violence. I guess I just want to ask you a little bit, you know, what are your concerns right now, you know, in Iowa, throughout the country? Do you have concerns? And, you know, what is being talked about in D.C., you know, in regard to all of this?
Yeah, certainly there are, you know, there are members on both sides of the aisle who want to ramp up rhetoric, who want to, you know, for lack of a better term, rage bait. And, you know, my terminology is I'm a workhorse, not a show horse. So I'm more interested in the policy. I'm more interested in solving problems and getting things done. So that tends to be where my focus is. But I think on both sides of the aisle, individuals, we're all Americans. We all want to see the best for people in this country. And so I heard something on the radio when I was traveling today. It was Secretary Marco Rubio was presenting in the Senate on foreign policy in Venezuela. And I heard Senator Shaheen said, you know, she was talking about one of the actions of President Trump, and she complimented the president on it. And I think we can, you know, it's kind of like you're in kindergarten, and you're, you know, in kindergarten, it's like you're looking for the best in people and treat people how you want to be treated. So let's remember, we're all Americans. We all want to see this great country succeed and go on to allow our children and grandchildren to be able to reach their potential and have the American dream. So let's focus on, you know, solutions, solving problems that can bring us together and bring Americans together. Because I do think through social media and through anonymity on the internet that people sometimes take out into the public arena things that in the past they may have said privately to individuals. So I think all of us can take a step back. And for instance, I will say there were protesters yesterday outside of the event where President Trump was speaking, but they were respectful. They remained on the sidewalks. They weren't trying to block the roadway. You know, they weren't jumping out in front of vehicles. Some of them were videotaping vehicles as they went by. The signs may have been nasty, but the protesters peacefully protested. And I think all of us need to be reminded of that, that we have a respect for free speech. We have a respect for freedom of association and to peacefully protest. But that doesn't mean you need to bare your inner soul and be outraged at all of your fellow Americans because there's a difference of opinion.
Well, you mentioned President Trump's visit, and you got to introduce the president.
It was great to be there, great to be able to talk about the things that we have done. And I was so glad that I was able to talk about some of the things in the working families tax cut that rarely get mentioned. You hear a lot about no tax on tips, and these things are great. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, the deductions in Social Security for seniors, which seniors have rarely gotten a break, and people on a fixed income. When there was inflation that went up to 9% in 2022 and then over 20% cumulatively over the 4 years of Biden, that really hits low-income families and people on a fixed income. And so having those breaks for those individuals, the estate tax, so small businesses and farmers can pass on, keeping those tax brackets low. But, you know, what was really great to mention is that the Trump accounts are the baby, I call them baby accounts, the baby accounts of $1,000. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was interviewed on a program, and I talked about this, and I said, this is so profound I said, you know, I came from a family where we didn't have money to save. There were 8 kids. My dad was a career Air Force. He worked extra jobs on the weekend. My mom worked. And, you know, there wasn't extra money. So to have an account set up for a baby born in 25 up to 28, and I hope the next president continues this, but to have an account set up of $1,000, so we have any child, you know, especially low income people that are, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes their paycheck isn't enough to stretch through the bills that they owe. So they have a savings account, a wealth building account. So they learn the value of saving. They learn the value of investing. They learn the value of compounding, and how I think this will be so transformational in the lives of individuals. And I said at that time, this is well over a, you know, I said it last year when we passed the bill that I thought other philanthropists would come out and add money to it, because online people were joking that parents don't have money to put into the accounts, even though they can add. Well, we know that Michael Dell and the Dell family came out. They're going to add to the accounts. Then Charles Schwab. But now more individuals are coming out that want to add to these accounts. And I just think that's such a profound thing for those people who don't have two nickels to rub together to be able to have this account for their child, which can grow substantially over their lifetime. And at 18 can be utilized for housing, for school, for trades. But I think it's profound. And then the other thing that is, I think, very different, we know that Americans are giving people. They're giving compassionate people. They give more charitable or higher charitable giving than most countries. And in the Working Families Tax Cut, you can have a deduction of $1,000 from your taxes for charitable deductions without itemizing your deductions. So you can use the standard deduction, but you, just like a wealthy person, will be able to get a deduction on your taxes for charitable giving. And I just think that helps the spirit of charitable giving, which most Americans have. So those two provisions, we were able to talk about those. I was able to introduce the president. And, you know, it was very proud of our president. We've done a lot of good things, but we have more to go. And again, as I say, all of us want to tone down the rhetoric. Remember that we work for the American people, and we want to see the American people thrive.
Well, Representative Miller Meeks, it's always great to have you on when we can, you know, hear straight from you what's going on, what your thoughts are, the good things and the not so good things going on. Is there something, though, that I did not ask you today that you were like, you know, gosh, I really wish I had an opportunity to, you know, let folks know this?
I would say that let's remember that it's tax season, so you should be getting your forms to file your taxes. And when you file their taxes, I think people are going to be surprised that they may not have to pay as much tax as they did last year, or they may get more money back in their refund. So we're hoping that people, and we think people, are going to have more money in their pockets. We respect your hard-earned tax dollars, and we're going to continue to prioritize how we spend money at the federal government so you keep more of your hard-earned money to be able to take care of you and your family. And please feel free to reach out to our office. We answer emails. We answer phone calls. And we'll try to be available for you. And if you want us to visit in your community, certainly you can reach out. We tour businesses. We talk with chambers of Congress. We go to Rotaries, and we're happy to do that and be available to people.
So people can just go to your website, get that information, your phone numbers, all that good stuff.
Yes, ma'am, they can. If they go to the website, Dr. Miller Meeks at mail.house.gov, that'll get to us, or Rep. Miller Meeks.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to update folks. Hopefully the next time you can swing through and be here in the studio.
Would be happy to do that. Thank you so much, Katie. I appreciate it.
Representative Marionette Miller Meeks, thanks for coming on.